Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Samach Aleph. You can see that we have a diamond marking around Ibaya Laho. This is a second question regarding text of vow, as we introduced in our previous shiur. The Gemara, Ibaya Laho, Omar, a person vows, Yayin Shani Toyem Yovel. He vows not to drink wine. Yovel, literally, is the Jubilee year. But we have to explain that the Jubilee year comes at the end of a period of 50 years. The Torah speaks about the Yovel in Parshas Bahar in Sefer Vayikra. One characteristic of that year is that slaves are set free. Another characteristic of that year is, similar to the Shemitah year, no agricultural activity is to take place. Now, imagine, and this is one of two explanations that you see in the Mefarshim, he is standing in the middle of that 50-year cycle, and he says he is not going to drink wine, Yovel. My. The question right now focuses on what is the din of the upcoming Yovel year. As we said, it's a 50-year cycle, so he's standing somewhere in the middle of that cycle, it's whether it be year 25 or year 37 or whatever, and he makes this vow, Yayin Shani Toyim Yovel. What is going to be the din when that Yovel year arrives? Shnas Yovel Kilifnei Chamishim. Does the Yovel year have the status of those years leading up to it, and hence he would be prohibited from drinking the wine? O kila achar chamishim, or would it be considered part of the new Yovel cycle, the new 50 years? And if that be the case, so his current vow would not encompass the Yovel year. Toshma de sanya plukto de Reb Yehuda v'Rabbanan. The resolution to this question is essentially a Tanaic controversy between Reb Yehuda and the rabbis, the Chachomim. The Pasuk says, V'kidashtem es shnas ha-chamishim shana. Shnas chamishim ato moine. When the 50th year arrives, you will count it as the 50th year. V'i ato moine shnas chamishim v'achas. Meaning, you count it as the 50th year and not as part of the new cycle. Meaning that when year, we'll say 51 arrives, that's when you start counting the new cycle of 50 years. Mikan Omru, based on this drosha, this posuk, they said, Yovel Eino Eile Leminyan Shavua. The Yovel is not part of the 7 years that constitute a Shemitah cycle. A Shemitah cycle, as we've explained in the past, is a group of 7 years, which concludes with the Shemitah year. It's an ongoing cycle, and during the 7th year, so one is prohibited from agricultural activity. But the point here is that the Jubilee year, the 50th year, is an independent entity, so that the previous Shemitah cycle that led up, that culminated with the 50th year, essentially was ended with year 49 as a division, as a number divisible by 7. 49 was a Shemitah year, and year 50 is the Yovel year, and the year after that starts a new Shemitah cycle. And that's what this line just meant, that the Yovel does not count as part of a Shemitah cycle. Needless to say, there are 7 Shemitah cycles that eventually that fit into a Yovel counting. Reb Yehuda Oimer, Yovel Oila Leminyan Shavua. The Yovel year counts as the first year as well toward the new Shemitah cycle. So that when you're counting your groups of 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, and eventually you get to year 49, the next year is 50, but it's also year 1 toward the new Shemitah cycle. So with that opinion having been presented, we now see 2 opinions how to view the Yovel. According to the Chachamim, the Yovel is not part of the new Shemitah cycle. And hence, if a person had said, Koinim Yayin Shani Toyim Yovel, so it would be, and he's standing in the middle of that 50-year unit of time, the Yovel year, when it actually arrives, will be part of the vow. However, according to Rabbi Huda, the Yovel is attached to the new Shemitah cycle, which is eventually the new Yovel cycle, so that according to Rabbi Huda, the vow would not include the Yovel year. Omru lo le Rabbi Huda. So the rabbis who said that the Yovel year stands as an independent entity, they said to Rabbi Huda, Harei Omer, Sheish Shonim Tizra Sodecha, that a person is to cultivate his field over a period of 6 years. In other words, during a standard Shemitah cycle, you have 6 years in which to cultivate. However, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, if the Yovel year, which is a year that's prohibited in agricultural activity, and that Yovel year counts simultaneously as year 1 toward the new Shemitah cycle, then kan elo chomesh, then you'll have only 5 years for cultivation. And they are years 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Year 1 would be prohibited because it is the Yovel year, which concurrently is considered year 1 of the new cycle, but it's forbidden in agricultural activity. And year 7 will be prohibited as well as a Shemitah year. So the Torah, and yet the Torah says that you have 6 years to cultivate, and according to your calculation, that first unit of 7 years of the new Yovel cycle, you only have 5 years for cultivation. Omar Lohem. So Rabbi Yehuda says back to the Rabbanon, L'divrechem, you who say that the Pasuk has to have application for every Shemitah cycle, well then what about the following Pasuk, Harehu Omer, V'osos es hatavua l'sholosh hashonim, in anticipation of the year that's prohibited in agricultural activity, it says that a miracle will happen, that the let's say the 48th year, which is a lead up to year 49, which is a Shemitah year, the year 48, which is also the 6th year of that last Shemitah cycle, that year will produce enough grain, enough food to last for 4 years. The succeeding years are prohibited, the immediate succeeding years are prohibited in cultural activity. So miraculously, and the Torah promises this, that the osos es hatvua l'sholosh shanim, the land will produce grains for 3 years. But according to you, the Rabbonon, that the Shemitah year stands as an independent, that the Yovel year stands as an independent entity, harei kan arba, the land would really have to produce grain, food for 4 years. Namely, year 48 in which you're doing actual cultivation. Year 49, which you're not allowed to do anything, that's a Shemitah year. Year 50, which according to the Rabbanan is a separate entity, it's Yovel, also prohibited. And until you get the grains planted and growing and harvested in year 51, which is year one of the new cycle, you'll also have to have grains from before. So essentially there's a representation of 4 years that would be necessary. Ela, Iko le'ukmo b'shar shnei shvuot. The pasuk that says 3 years can be ascribed to the other Shemitah units, where you have, you'll have year, let us say, the year six, year seven, and year number one of the new cycle. So just like you, the Rabbanan, will have to say that this pasuk is a reference to the majority of the Shemitah cycles and not the final Shemitah cycle, which contains a Yovel in it. Dili Nami, the pasuk that you had used to question me, namely Sheishonim Tizra Sodecho, that as well, Ikalu Ukmo Bishar Shnei Shvuot, that you'll be able to establish with regard to other Shemitah units, and not the first Shemitah unit, which contains the Yovel year as year number one. The Mishnah mentioned other examples of vows, Ad HaPesach, Osur, etc., and then we saw Ad Penei HaPesach, Rabbi Meir Omer Osur Ad Shiagia, Rabbi Yossi Omer Osur Ad Shiagia. If a person vowed to restrict himself from something and use the expression Ad Penei HaPesach, there we ran into a Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Meir says he is prohibited only until Pesach itself arrives, and Rabbi Yossi says he is prohibited until the end of Pesach. Lameimra, this would seem to suggest the Rabbi Meir Sover Lo Mayalinish Nafshei. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Bey's Lisfeka. For Rabbi Yossi Sofer Mayalinish Nafshe Lisfeka, according to Rabbi Meir, when a person says Ad Pnei, literally until the face of Pesach, he says something that is certain, that is definitive. And that the vow would go certainly until the beginning of Pesach. The question in our minds is, would that continue into Pesach? And the word Penei would refer to each succeeding day of Pesach, is also considered Penei Pesach with regard to the following day. Or do we say no, a person doesn't, when a person vows, when a person speaks, he speaks only in that which is clear, which is definitive. So it would seem then from this presentation, from our Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir says a person when he speaks, he accepts upon himself only that which is absolute, and hence only until the arrival of Pesach. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says that a person will say things even though what he says could get him into a matter that is not certain, and then hence be bound. You can see Rashi on the top line, Lisfeka, the Keva de Iko Lisfuke, since there's room to deliberate, E Mashma Ad Shietze O Ad Shiagia, Vadai Bedelekosfeka here Bedaito Bishasa Nedainu Ad Shiagia. That's Rabbi Meir's position, that a person wouldn't say something that would bind him under circumstances that one would deliberate, only things that a person knows with absolute clarity. Rav Yossi, as we said, on the other hand, says a person will say things and bind himself to obligations even if they are not absolutely clear. Well, that having been said, we now raise a seeming contradiction. Viromini. Mi sheyeshlo shtei kitei bonos mishtei noshim. A person has two sets of daughters, a total of four daughters, from two wives. And all of these daughters are under 12 years of age. And under circumstances like that, a father has the power to marry them off. So a person like this, he says, V'omar, ki dashti es biti hagedoylo, v'eini yodea im gedolos shebegdolos. A person has, as we said, these four daughters, and he says, I married off, I accepted money from a man in exchange for the marriage of my daughter, but which daughter? The gedola, the eldest daughter. It's hard to translate the word in light of what we're going to see now, so gedola means older, my older daughter. And I don't know, when I said older daughter, is it gedola shebegdolos, literally the eldest daughter? It's the oldest of the older ones, because in our example we mentioned he had two wives, wife number one producing daughters A and B, A being the eldest, B being the next eldest, and from wife number two, daughters C and D, C being younger than B, and D being the youngest of them all. So he says, I don't know, when I said Biti Hagadola, does it mean the eldest of them all? Im Gedola Shebektanos, or maybe it's the, in our example, would it be daughter C, the older of the two younger ones, the older of the two, V'im Ktana Shebegdolos, or maybe it was daughter B in our example, she's the younger of the two older daughters, however, she Gedola Min Hagedola Shebektanos, but she, daughter B, happens to be older than daughter C, the older of the two younger ones. Kulon asuros, chutz min haktana shebektanos, divrei Rebbe Meir. The ruling of Rebbe Meir is that they're all prohibited, meaning they're all considered married out of doubt. They're all considered married, and he can't marry them to someone else. With the exception, the only daughter that's clearly not included is daughter D, as we said before, the youngest of the young ones. That's Rebbe Meir's opinion. Rebbe Yossi Omer kulon mutaros chutz min hagdoylo shebegdolos. Rebbe Yossi says that a father who says I married off my daughter the gedola, the only one that would be considered married, and hence the other ones mutaros, he could be married to someone else, that is the opinion of Rebbe Yossi, that only the eldest of all the daughters is prohibited, is considered a married woman. So what do we see from this? That when a person says Kidashi is Biti HaGedola, Rabbi Yossi says, a person speaks in definitive terms, in something that you couldn't deliberate, something that's obvious, something that is certain. So is that not a contradiction to what we saw before, that Rabbi Yossi holding a person will let himself get into something that is a doubt? Here you see that no, when a person speaks, he doesn't speak in terms that could lead to a doubt. And of course, with regard to Rebbe Meir, here in the case of the daughters, he said something, and what he said is something that could be deliberated, something could be is doubtful what exactly he meant, and all of those that fall into the doubt are restricted. Whereas in the case of the vow before, Ad Panei Pesach, Rebbe Meir took the position that a person, when he speaks, he commits himself only to something that is absolute, that is definitive, not something that one would be able to deliberate. Hence, a contradiction, a double contradiction. Omar Rabbi Chanina Bar Avdimi, Omar Rav, Muchlefes Hashita. We switch around the opinions that we saw in our Mishnah regarding the Dorim, and Rebbe Meir is the one that would say Ad Pnei Pesach means until Achi Etzi, until Pesach finishes, and Rebbe Yossi would be the opinion that says a person does not enter into Suffolk, into doubt. The Hotanya and support to this is the following source, Zehaklal, calls Kolshes Manu Kovua, anything that has a fixed time. The holidays, for example, have a fixed time on the calendar. The Omar Ad Penei, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad Sheyetze. If he says Ad Penei, you'll have the vow will be binding until the end of the holiday. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Ad Sheyagia. And Rabbi Yossi saying, No, he is usher, he is restricted only until the arrival of the holiday. That's an explanation of Panay that everyone would agree with. There's no point of deliberation regarding Panay, including the time that leads up till the holiday. As we continue in our text, we have a new Mishnah. And on the side of the Gemara, we also have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll see, as you look on, the use of diamonds. These are Klolim rules, B'misha Nodar Leser Atzmo Adzman Pu'ula Misuyemes, a person who vowed to restrict himself until a certain action. Zmano Kavua, we'll see things that have a fixed time, and we'll see Ein Zmano Kavua, things that don't have a fixed time. The Mishnah. He says, and here they're missing words so in terms of the text, but it's we're not saying there's any problem with the text per se. You'll see in the Rashi he has more words than appear in our Gemara. A person says Kainim She'eni Toyim Yayin, and here we have examples Ad HaKotzir, Ad HaBotzir, Ad HaMasik. Person accepts on himself a prohibition of drinking wine. Konam is the word that we've seen many times. It's a word indicating a vow, like a korban, like declaring wine unto himself as if it were a sacrifice, something that's prohibited for personal benefit. But he says Ad HaKotzir, until the grain harvest, or Ad HaBotzir, until the grape harvest, Ad HaMasik, until the olive harvest. Einu Osir Elo Ad Shiagia. The person is restricting himself only till the point that it arrives, that the harvest time begins. Ze HaKlal. The following is a rule. Kol Shizmano Kovua, anything that has a fixed time, the Omar Ad Shiagia, and he uses that expression, I'm prohibiting myself until it arrives. Osir ad shiagia. It's prohibited. Whatever self-imposed prohibition is, it will be until the arrival of that thing who has a fixed time. And we indicated before, the holidays have fixed calendar dates. Omar ad shiyehe. If a person uses that expression, osir ad shiyetze, then he is obligating himself, he's prohibiting himself until the end of that particular time, in this case until the end of the holiday. The Chol She'ein Zmano Kavua, things that don't have a fixed date, like the harvests. There are certain seasons the harvest is early in the year, certain years that the harvest is late in the year. So those are things that don't have a fixed time. Bein Shomar Ad Shiyehe, Bein Shomar Ad Shiyagia. Whether he uses the expression of Achie or Achiagia, Eno Osur Elo Achiagia. He is prohibiting himself only until the arrival of that time, not till the end of that time. A person says, Ad Hakayetz, Achiehe Hakayetz. This is the time in which people harvest figs. That's kayitz. Kayitz is associated with a fig harvest. As you can see in Rashi, Ara, kayitz ad shas lekitas te'enim. Oishom ad shiheh kayitz, shneem mashma, de'eno osur elo ad shiyasulom lohachnis te'enim bekalkulois vizel betchilas hakayitz. A vow like this, ad hakayitz or ad shiheh kayitz, Rashi explains, a person is prohibiting himself until the beginning of the fig harvest. And as the Mishnah says, what do these phrases mean, which we just saw in Rashi? Ad shiaschilu ha'om lachnis b'kalkulois. Only the vow will bind him, will prohibit him, only until the time that the people start to gather into the kalkulos, the baskets. Ad shiavor ha'kaitz, if a person vows using that expression, then ad shiyakpilu ha-miktsoyos. That will take you to the end of the harvest season. The miktsos are the special knives that were used for cutting the figs. and Yakpilu Hagsus until they fold up the knives and put them away. We look in Rashi, Omar Ashi Avo Akaitzos, Rashi Yichpulu Amitzos, Ashi Machpilin Hasakinim. Sakinim are the knives, Shekotzitsu Ben Ateinim, Umatsniyun Oson, till they fold up the knives and put them away for safekeeping. Kamo Mekaplin Asakalim, the word Mekaplin you find in Masechet Shabbos as well. The Ran explains along the same lines. Achi Kaplu Hamitzos, looking in the Ran commentary, Hasakinim Shemiuchodim Lachter Chateinim Kishosimehem Igulim. These are the knives that were used especially for the cutting of figs when they were made into fig cakes, and was pressed figs together. Igulim are the way they used to press figs into round disc-like containers, and those knives that were used for cutting these pressed figs, nikroi miktsois. Vochi ashkon dikori kro lesakini miktsois. Dichtiv yaseu miktsois. Vaf vigulim atzom nikroim kein al shmon. The igulin, the round cakes of figs, also called miktsos, in honor of or because of the knives that were used for cutting them. But for our purposes, the vow issue, if a person says ash yav or hakayetz, he is vowing till late in the fig harvest season, till the end of the fig harvest season. Tana. Here we have a brisa that reflects upon the word seen in the Mishnah, just the line above, where the Mishnah had said, "Achi yaschilu om lahachnis bekalkalois," and therefore, when a person says "ad shiheh akayitz," it should be clear that phrase is a reference to the gathering of the fruits into baskets, namely figs. Tana kalkola she'amru, the word kalkola, the basket referred to, kalkola shel te'enim, velo kalkola shel anovim. It's a reference to the harvest of figs into fig baskets and not the harvest of grapes. And if you're wondering, like, what's the point of this precision, why is it necessary? So if you look in the Ran, kalkola shel te'enim, shelefi shehein niktsotsos biyad, Likitosin kriya kayitz. Since figs are picked by hand, the term kayitz is the appropriate description, the appropriate verb referring to fig harvest. Velo kalkolos shelanovim, but not to think that we're referring to the gathering of grapes to be put in grape baskets. Mishum velo mekatson biyada. Grapes are not cut by hand. That would be, the verb would be chaticha, cutting with a knife. So when a person says ad hakayitz, kayitz implies hand picking. And what fruit is picked by hand? Figs. So that when the Mishnah, which didn't mention any either fruit by name, and said anakayetz, and it says until the vow extends until they gather into baskets, it's baskets of figs, because they are associated with kayetz, which means hand cut, hand harvested, as opposed to knife harvested. Tanya, hanoider miperos akayetz. A person who vowed not to partake of, not to benefit from peros hakayitz, he is vowing not to benefit from figs. Rav Shmuel le'Oimer, anovim b'chlal te'enim. According to Shmuel Gamliel, grapes are included within the realm of te'enim. And there's a halachic ramification here, and that the grape harvest being later, so that the vow will end up the person who had imposed upon himself restriction from peros hakayitz, he is including grapes. It would therefore appear that if the vow is, as we saw in this Tanaic source, Miperos HaKayetz, according to Shlomo Amliel, he would be restricting himself from not only figs, but from grapes. And if the vow were, let's say, time-oriented, he's restricting something else until Kayetz, according to Shlomo Amliel, it wouldn't be a reference simply to the fig harvest, but it would go even further, as the Rashi suggests, Vyosarat Kalkolo Shalanovim. He would be time-wise prohibited until the gathering in baskets holding grapes. And now the Gemara gets into the analysis of these two opinions. My time of the Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama say that Te'enim are called Kayetz? Kosovar Te'enim Mitzitzon Biyodok, Anovim Lo Mitzitzon Biyodok. As we indicated before, that the word Kayetz is a reference to hand harvest. Figs are hand harvested. Grapes are not. Grapes are picked not by hand, but with the use of a knife. And that's called Chaticha. Rav Shimon Gamliel Sovar, Anovim Nami Kimiradidon. Grapes, also when the grape stems become dry, mitzitzon biyada, then they, the grapes, are harvested by hand as well. So hand harvesting and kayetz has relevance to grapes as well. Ad shiavor ha-kayetz, ad shiichpilu ha-miktsoyos, tona. Ad shiachpilu roiv ha-miktsoyos. If a person vowed, ad shiavor ha-kayetz, so it's until the special fig knives are folded away, folded and put away. So the Brisa says that the vow that involved imposing some type of restriction is applicable until what time? Until Yachbilu Rov Hamitzos, until the majority of the knives have been put away. The Gemara continues at the top of Samach Beis, of Daf Samach Beis. Tono hukpulu rov hamiktsoos mutoros mishum gezel ufturos min hamaisros. This is a point that doesn't have the direct relevance to vows, but rather to halachas concerning permission of the for the general public to help themselves to figs that may still be in privately owned fields. So that when this point in time arrives, that most of the fig knives have been put away, then it is mutter, that which is, remains in fields, mutaros mishum gezel. If a person, an outsider, comes and takes it, you can rest assured that the original, that the owner, original owner of those figs, as he's demonstrated his lack of interest. The term that you see in the halachas, nisyashu, he's given up on them, meaning he doesn't care about them, and hence your taking of them would not be considered an act of theft. And as a result of that, that they're considered unowned, they are therefore pturos min hamaisus. They're exempt from the need for tithing them. The Gemara, as it continues, will feature a few incidents, stories, that you'll find this phenomenon of hukpulu rov hamiktsos to be a part of the stories, and hence their location here. Mirtz Hashem, in our next shiur, we will pick up with these stories, these maisim. Before we conclude, let us remind you, however, that if you're interested in being in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.